It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us to answer our question for today is Pastor Skoom Luli. He's going to be helping us understand exactly what's happening here. And our question for today is, what does the Bible teach about wealth and poverty? Pastor Skoom Luli, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us today.
Good afternoon. And greetings to the listeners as well.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is, what does the Bible teach about wealth and poverty?
Oh, all right. Thank you. Thank you so much for the question. From what I know and from what the Bible teaches, in fact, contrary to popular belief, God does not condemn wealth and prosperity. In fact, throughout the Bible, we see instances where God blesses his people with abundance and prosperity. However, it is essential to recognize that God's intention for wealth goes beyond merely accumulating and personal gain. In fact, God's desire is that his children, when they are blessed and they are wealthy, they can be a blessing to those around them. They can be a blessing to the communities. In fact, it is the Bible that teaches us. When you read in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs chapter 30 verse 8, the Bible says, Lord, bless me with enough. Don't give me too much. So that, because if you give me too much, I may forget that I need you. And it goes on to say, don't give me a little so that I may also, that I may not take your name in vain, and make sure, and so that I can just keep upholding your name. So in the Bible, we learn that when we pray, we must pray for enough, not too much, so that we may forget the Lord, and not illegally that we end up doing some messed up stuff so that we may make money. So according to the Bible does not condemn wealth. God blesses his people in the Bible. And again, when the Bible speaks about poverty, in fact, people believe that being poor means that you are godly, and being wealthy, it means that you are sinful. But that's not what the Bible teaches. We see God blessing people in the Bible. We see God coming through for his people in the Bible. So God, I cannot say that God is happy when I am poor. God wants me to be blessed. But when he's blessed me, he expects me to be a blessing in the community, a blessing to those around me. I think that's what I can say concerning wealth and poverty.
Do tell me then, because a lot of people tend to argue that because he was born in a manger, homeless, he therefore was poor, a carpenter. Why did he come as a poor man, as a peasant, as a blue-collar bottom feeder worker, if he was not glorifying poverty?
Okay, thank you for that question. If Jesus had come as a wealthy Messiah, the poor would have had a problem with him. It would have been difficult for the poor to accept him as Messiah, to access him. So he came came in a manger as a poor person, so that even the poor can associate with even the poor, the poorest of the poor. So, yes.
So what about the rich then? Because he was born a pauper. That therefore suggests because he was born a rich man, no one is ever going to trust him to give us riches. Why couldn't he give himself riches? You know, the general retort that if you can fix cars, why aren't you fixing yours? If you can fix shoes, why can't you fix yours? If you can fix marriages, why can't you fix yours? If you can heal, why are you sick? So if he can do all of these things, why was he not able to do all of those things for him? Remember the retort at the cross? Oh, he's been saving everybody else. Why can't he save himself? That has been always the logic. So we want wealth, and we want to be, healthy. Have a healthy economy in our homes, but he couldn't do that for himself. Why would then, if it is going to be difficult for the poor to trust him if he was rich, isn't it going to be difficult for the rich to trust him because he was poor?
Oh, wait, thank you. But that's why even for the Pharisees, it was difficult for them to believe that he was the Messiah. Because when they looked at where he was coming from and looked at his background, it was difficult for them to accept him
Absolutely.
As the Messiah. But again, we learn from the life of Jesus Christ while he was on earth, that in as much as he came from a poor background, he could still do things that even the rich could tell that, no, there is something about man. So he could provide for even the rich. He could do stuff for even the wealthy. That's why when you read about the Simon who invited him to his house, he wanted to sit with Jesus Christ, because even though he came from a poor background, but he could do stuff that even the rich could relate to, even the rich could want to associate themselves with. Whereas if he had come from a rich background, it would have been difficult for the poor to come to him. I'm not saying it would have been impossible, but it would have been difficult for them to come to Jesus. But he came from a poor background so that the poor could come to him as they are.
In the New Living Translation, Matthew 19, verse 23, 24, 25, and 26 reads as follows, and my question will then come after. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Full stop. Close quote. That's Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 to 26. It appears as though Jesus was condemning the rich to hell.
Yes. The last part of the verse just answered you. He said, with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
When you look at the wealthy, when you are well off and you have it all, you do not see the need for praying. You do not see the need of going to church. Whereas when you do not have enough, that's when you have a need to pray. So it is difficult for the rich to pray to God, to connect with God, because they have enough. They have a lot. So they probably don't see. That's why you see the church growing in Africa. Whereas when you go overseas, the church is not growing as much as it is in Africa, because they are advanced. They have it all. But when you come this side, we are still struggling. We are still looking for stuff. So that's why we are seeking God. So when you go to these underdeveloped countries, the countries that are still developing, you will discover that the church grows in a mighty way there. And when you go to the developed countries, you discover that the church is not growing so much, because in the developing countries, there is a need for a savior. Whereas in the developed countries, there is also a need for a savior, but they don't realize it. So when you read in the Bibles, you realize that when people lose stuff, that's when they seek, they search for God. But when they have stuff, they don't bother themselves. So the Bible, when it talks about it being difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, it does not say it's impossible. That's why the Bible then ends up saying, oh, with God, all things are possible. So even the wealthy can make it into the kingdom of God.
My final question for this is based on Luke chapter 12. From verse 16, it reads, then he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man, underline rich man, produced an abundance. So he thought to himself, what shall I do? Since I have nowhere to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and will build bigger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. Then I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be required of you. Then who will own what you have accumulated? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up treasures for himself, but is not rich toward God. Full stop, close quote. Again, here it appears as though he calls people who are accumulating wealth fools. Kindly explain, Mfundisi.
Just to answer that one, I will take you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The verse preceding that one in 32, Jesus says, do not do what the Gentiles do. So what is it that the Gentiles do? The Gentiles, they seek after these things. Then Jesus comes and he says, don't do what they do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall then be added unto you. So what the Gentiles do, what they go after, they spend hours seeking these things. They bribe to get these things. They use witchcraft to get these things. Jesus says, don't do that. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what they bribe to get, what they use muti to get, he says, I will give it to you. That's why the psalmist will tell you that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. So when we search for God, so God is calling us to search for him, to seek him, not the riches of this world, but to seek him, then he will give us the riches of this world. So we must spend our time seeking God and not the riches of this world. The problem that we are faced with today is that we spend so much time looking for stuff. We spend so much time seeking the things of this world, forgetting that, yes, we are in the world, but we are not of this world. We are just passing through. So the Lord is calling on us to seek that which is eternal, not that which is permanent, not that which is temporal, but that which is eternal.
Okay. So what you're saying is you can accumulate wealth as long as it's the secondary thing. The primary thing is seeking the kingdom of heaven. Did I understand you well?
Yes, yes, yes.
Lovely. Lovely. Pastor Skoom Luli, thank you very much. Woo-hoo. Looking forward to more of your answers this week. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, fellow Bundes.
All right. Thank you, Yusuf.
All right.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.